the ball, so let's get control. Kick it with your feet, then score a goal. Just tackle the ball, so get control. Kick it with your feet, then score a goal.
He's playing football, he's scoring first.
Score a goal, and score a goal. I've got my feet in my football shoes. Kick it in the goal, and we just can't lose.
Just score a goal, he scores too.
Kick the ball with your scoring shoes. I'll score a goal, and you do the same. We'll definitely win this football game.
He's shot the ball, he's scoring trip.
Score a goal, with the scoring kick.
Hello, welcome along to the League 2 version of the League podcast in association with the 72.co.uk. William Hill bringing you the best odds and offers on the Football League week in, week out. We've got Sam Ashu from the 72.co.uk and In Play Radio online to have a chat about three matches in the fourth tier of English football. You well, Sam?
Yeah, good, thank you, Lee. Looking forward to some interesting games in League 2 this weekend.
Yeah, and your nap falls in this division as well. We'll come to that at the end, and I'll also reveal what Pete Farris, who does our Championship previews, and my naps are this week as well. Let's kick off, though, with Bury versus Tranmere, first of all. It's 4-5, Bury, odds on, in League 2. Draw 9-4, Tranmere 4-1, Bury are odds on because they're third in the table with 20 points from their 10 games so far, and Tranmere are down in 20th with 9 points from their 10. You have to go back to the 30th of August to find Tranmere's last win. That was 2-1 over Morecambe. They've since lost 3 and drawn 2. Both the draws were 0-0. Bury have just suffered their first defeat since the League Cup loss in extra time to Bolton, and their first League defeat since the opening day of the season when they lost to Cheltenham. The defeat came at the hands of Exeter, who were down in 17th position themselves, 2-1 away from home last Saturday. Sam, I mean, it may ring some alarm bells, but back at home you'd expect them to be able to get past Tranmere, whose away form has been a bit patchy as well.
Yeah, I do, Lee, to be honest. I think that Bury are beginning to, well, they're certainly coming good now, aren't they? They were pretty much the favourites to win this division at the start, and of course we saw an excellent start from Burton and Morecambe as well. But they've got a good squad, Bury, and the likes of Kelvin Atuhu and Nicky Adams, who have dropped down divisions, they're excellent players at this division and still in good age brackets as well, so should be almost at the peak of their careers, if you like. And things are just coming good. David Flitcroft has got a very happy bunch there. And he's that kind of manager where you think if it's all going really well, it's going really, really well, because he's a sort of very, I don't know, sort of a happy guy, if you like. And it certainly is at the moment. So real good feel factor there at the moment. But it sets up for a very interesting League 2 this season now, because we've got Burton, Wickham, Bury and Southend pretty much all on, well, very similar points. But yeah, Bury lost to Exeter in that one, but they did have 13 corners in that match. And I think sometimes when you have that many corners, it can be quite a telling factor, because it maybe just looks like they were slightly unlucky not to get anything out of the game. I haven't actually seen the game, so I won't comment on it too much. But judging by that statistic, it would seem as if they didn't, well, they certainly didn't roll over. They tend to be winning the matches that they should win, and that's certainly very important. Because you know that's where your banker points are, if you like. Then you can try and get your bonuses. And one of those bonuses was that 3-1 victory over Burton Albion. It was an excellent performance from Bury. They outplayed Burton that day, and that was the real sort of not necessarily a turning point in the league, because Burton are still top. But that was the result for Bury that says, look, we're here to challenge for the automatics as well. So. Yeah, it's good times at Gig Lane at the moment against a Tranmere side that aren't doing too well. Let's say they've lost 70% or nearly 70% of their last 20 away games. That is not good at all. And if I'm honest, I can't see anything too different happening Saturday. I think the Bury price at 4-5 is huge. Let's just compare this. This Bury versus Tranmere match is the equivalent of perhaps Chelsea versus QPR in the Premier League. And if Chelsea were playing at home to QPR, you would not see Chelsea at 4-5. You'd see them at 1-6 or something like that. So 4-5, yes, it's not odds against or evens, but it is still a huge, huge price for a team that are 2 points off top of the league. Now, if you compare that price of 4-5 for Bury to beat Tranmere, I think there's something like 17 places that separate the two sides. We've got a match that we're actually going to talk about later on in the podcast. It's Southend versus Morecambe. Now, I think that Southend are, I haven't actually got the prices up, but if you could just have a look for me, Lee, I think Southend are something like 4-6 or something.
Yeah, 8-11, so yeah, more or less.
8-11. Against the Morecambe side, who are, they're pretty much, well, they're in similar positions in the league, aren't they?
Mad that,
so you're comparing Bury versus Tranmere, 17 places between the two at 4-5. And then you've actually got a worse price in 8-11 for Southend to beat Morecambe. So that just tells you, I think, how good the Bury price is today.
Mm, yeah, that is amazing. That it's, I'd looked at the prices, but I hadn't really registered. Should we move on to that game actually then?
So yeah,
Southend versus.
Good segue that.
So, yeah, great. Southend. It's like it's some people think this is thrown together. Southend 8-11, the draw 5-2, Morecambe 4-1. As we just said, Southend fourth, Morecambe sixth, just 4 points separating them. Now Morecambe, I suppose one of the reasons why that price might be the way it is because Southend have been winning and continue to for the last five games. They drew with Oxford, and since then they've had four successive victories. And the opposite's really true of Morecambe. They've had that fantastic start, and now they've lost three on the spin, all by a goal to nil. The goals have really dried up for them, haven't they? Yeah, over the last three games. So I suppose that's the reason why. But still, I mean, you know, the loss to Mansfield came with a stoppage time winner for Mansfield. Like I say, only lost narrowly to Wimbledon, narrowly to Northampton. I wonder what's happened to them.
Yeah, well, they certainly surprised a lot of people, including myself, at the start of the season, because that front three they're playing up front, including the likes of Kevin Ellison, who was banging them in, was just incredible, really. And of course, they have tailed off. It's actually since Jim Bentley won Manager of the Month. Good old Manager of the Month curse. They've only taken 4 points from a possible 15 in September, which is, well, somewhat different compared to what they had in August. But of course, it's October now, so I'm sure that Jim Bentley will take that as a positive and say to himself, look, this is a new month, let's cross off September as a bit of a dip. And they know that they've got goals in them because they've proved that in August. In that September that they lost, of course, we mentioned that they lost a few narrow, well, they had a few narrow defeats, didn't they? But they averaged around about 9 shots per game in September. So it wasn't too bad. It wasn't like they were not creating any chances or anything like that. It just didn't really happen for them. And, of course, it did happen for Southend. They won 4 in a row. They beat the likes of Portsmouth, Cheltenham and Shrewsbury, which are decent sides in the division, certainly Cheltenham and Shrewsbury. But Southend have never actually beaten Morecambe in the league. They've lost 7 out of 8 in the league. They've lost 7 out of the 8 games that they've played against Morecambe in the league. Look, I personally think, and I mentioned it a couple of minutes ago, I think the Southend price is too short, because let's just look at this. Southend, 4th in the table against Morecambe, 6th in the table, 4 points separating the two. Morecambe have proved that they can be a decent side on their day. So I think the price of 8-11 is too short. And I would look at both teams to score. Yes, the goals dried up in September for Morecambe, but like I said, they've proved that they can score and they've created the chances in September. They just seem to get a little bit unlucky. And to back that up from a Southend point of view, they've scored in all but one home match this season. So, you know, both teams have scored 12 goals as well. It's been an average of 13 corners in the last 5 Southend games, I think, between the two sides that they've played against. So chances are coming from both teams. It's just that one side have taken them and one side haven't. So I'll be looking at the both teams to score at 21-20, because I just think the outright prices are too short today.
Fair enough, yeah. Couldn't disagree with that at all. Let's have a look at the final match, shall we? And it is Oxford versus Newport County. Another interesting one, this one. Oxford 7-5. The draw 21-10. 21-10 for Newport as well. The league positions, Oxford in the bottom two with just 7 points from the 10 games. Newport 13 points from their 10. Well, if we think back to the start of the season, it didn't begin very well for Oxford. They lost the first game, then won the second, and then went on this dreadful run, really, which the only highlight, I suppose, was really holding West Brom to a draw away from home, but then eventually losing on penalties. They've steadied the ship a little bit in the last 5 or 6 games, Sam, winning against Accrington and drawing 3 or 4 of them, but then back to losing ways against Luton last time out. And Newport, kind of similar, But just picking up more points than Oxford, managing to get a win here and there, which is all important. If Oxford could have transformed, you know, maybe one or two of those draws into wins, they'd be in a similar position to Newport, to be fair, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. And I favour Newport on this one, I really do, Lee. Oxford, for me, yes, they may have sort of steadied the ship, if you like, but they're just not scoring any goals whatsoever. And it's okay, you can grind out the occasional, you know, one-all draw, but 0-0 at home to Stevenage is, you know, the kind of results where they should be scoring. They just don't look like they've got particularly anyone up front who can, and that stems back to not really signing anyone in the transfer window. I remember Michael Appleton being fairly pleased with the squad that he had and maybe waiting and holding on when the fans really wanted to see some transfers, and it didn't happen, and now he's paying the price. And he's a bit of a stubborn manager, you know, in honesty. He's recently come out and said he won't change his beliefs no matter what people said, and he won't move to a plan B. Now, if you compare that to Justin Edinburgh, the manager of Newport, he's come out and actually said something completely different, not in response to Appleton, but just generally in the pre-match press conference. And he said, look, he wants to stay at Newport for a while. He knows he's got a lot to learn. He's made mistakes along the way, even though he's taken them up. And he says he's open and flexible to understand that he has still got a lot to learn. So, for me, two very different managers there. One who's sort of embracing life in League Two as a young manager, and one who's just not really adapting to what has been a bad start to the season. So, like I mentioned in a few podcasts ago, actually, I think that Michael Appleton is almost on his last legs in terms of management in the Football League. He struggled at Blackpool, Blackburn. He was okay at Portsmouth, and then he's really struggling now. So I'm leaning towards Newport here. Look, they've drawn with Burton, they've beaten Portsmouth, they've beaten Northampton, they drew away at, like I said, a good Shrewsbury side. So the matches, you know, they've had a tough old run, and they've grinded out some decent results against very decent sides. And important for them that Joe Piggott got off the mark. He scored a brace for them, and I think he's going to be one of their sort of main strikers this season, young player. As I said, he scored two goals at the weekend, and yeah, that'll be important for them, because that recent result, that 4-1 at home to Wimbledon, I think is going to perhaps kickstart them a little bit. Okay, they may be looking for mid-table this season, but still an important win. And I think the draw no bet, Newport at 6-5, is a very good price, because look, they're playing against an Oxford side here that are, well, they're 1 point off the bottom of the league. You know, and it's, you know, we've got 24 teams in this league, and Oxford are, well, arguably one of the bigger sides. So I think that the draw no bet, Newport is 6-5. Gives you that little bit of leeway if it is the draw, because of course you get your money back. But for them to win, you know, 6-5 on that, I think is a decent price. And it's worth bearing in mind perhaps that Oxford have only won 1 of 5 at home to Newport as well, if you like your recent records and your past head-to-heads.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, that does look a decent price, actually, just looking at it. Nap time. Last week, Pete Farris, our Championship colleague, landed his bet, which was Ipswich to score over 1.5 goals at 21-20. So he moves up to £38.42 in profit. You had Ben Davies any time, didn't oblige, so you go down to £16 profit, because the previous week he had the 7-2, of course, with Conor Hallahan. It was a great bet. I had Barnsley Swindon both in score last week. Less said about that, the better. this week, Pete has gone Charlton to win by a goal at 14-5, and I've gone Huddersfield to score over 1.5 goals in their match at Blackburn at 17-10. What say you, Sam?
Have a guess out of the three that I've picked.
I'm going to go for the first one, Bury at 4-5 to beat Tranmere.
I've got to say, that was my second favourite, because I think it's a heck of a price, but I'm going to go with the draw no bet Newport.
Okay.
I really am, just because of actually Oxford and how poor they've been, and the fact that Newport are scoring a few goals now. So I think the Bury price is huge, and I think anyone that's looking to put on perhaps a 5, 6, 7 or 8 fold at the weekend across all of the English divisions should be smashing Bury into that one at 4-5. But I think my nap is going to come the draw no bet Newport at 6-5, because there's a little bit of value there.
Yeah, odds against for two results, you know, effectively. I know you get your money back if it's a draw, but you know, you're still getting, you know, two of the results can mean you don't lose any money, basically. So it's a nice way in. Very good. Sam, thanks for your time. Been brilliant.
No, not a problem. I'm on In Play Radio tomorrow, 12 till 5, covering the Football League. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good, especially with some cracking matches that we've been through, some great matches in the Championship, and of course, Leeds United versus Sheffield Wednesday on the telly as well. So loads to look forward to. Sam Ashu, make sure you check out the 72.co.uk as well. Loads of preview articles on there, and you get all the reports as well. And if you follow me on Twitter, you get some goal flashes along the way as well. You can download this podcast or just listen to it on the 72.co.uk. It's also available at williamhill.com/podcasts. You can subscribe via iTunes by typing in William Hill Football, and then you'll get all our podcasts delivered straight to your device, your phone or your PC. And of course, you can go to audioboom.com and find all of our podcasts under every sport we cover. NFL, we've got a bit of snooker on there, darts, tennis, of course, footy and horse racing, plus a bit of golf as well. So plenty to look at on audioboom.com. If you're having a bet on any of the League Two matches this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.